Welcome to Journal Club for January 2nd, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. If you've gotten used to creating VPCs on AWS or GCP, or VNets on Azure, then you've probably become pretty spoiled. All those configuration options and knobs and dials, the CIDR blocks and subnets and masks, all that comes out of the box when you're working in the cloud. But if you're administering a traditional corporate network for an enterprise, the picture is probably very different. These kinds of legacy systems don't provide nearly the functionality that you might want and need to support the company's growing demands. And that's where this paper comes in. The authors are proposing what they're calling an ENT, an enhanced network topology, that makes a number of changes all at once to quickly modernize older networks. This paper is largely theoretical. It's about system design, not necessarily implementation. The authors did simulate some aspects of their creation on a Cisco packet tracer, but I think it's worth taking any such simulations with a grain of salt. Their ideas are still in the early phases, and rigorous testing will likely come in later articles. So I'm going to focus this breakdown on what their design does differently from traditional or legacy networks, why they made the choices they did, and the problems that these changes are supposed to be solving. First, for those who are not network engineers, here's a very brief oversimplification of the playing field here. A network is just a system of interconnected devices. These could be computers, or switches, or phones, or any other kind of node. The OSI model, the Open Systems Interconnection model, is a framework that describes how data moves around a network. This model has seven layers: physical, data link, network, transport, session, presentation, and application. They are numbered as layers 1 to 7 in that order. So layer 1, layer 2, layer 3, etc. Each layer handles specific types of tasks, and as the number in the layer gets higher, those tasks are further and further away from the metal. The TCP/IP model is another framework, but it's more streamlined. It has four layers: link, internet, transport, and application. These layers focus on the practical protocols used in modern networking. Side note, the TCP/IP model having four layers is actually not settled. Sometimes you will see it represented as five, sometimes you will see it represented as four. But anyway, both of these frameworks are just views, ways to represent and conceptualize the actual physical and digital phenomena happening in the network. Regardless of what view you use, a core component is IP addressing. IP addressing assigns unique numerical identifiers, that's IP addresses, to devices so that they can communicate. But as the nodes on your network grow, giving them all IP addresses can get very complicated. To manage this process efficiently, CIDR was introduced, C-I-D-R, that's classless inter-domain routing. It uses notation that you've probably seen before. It's like an IP address, and then a forward slash, and then a number, like 24, where the slash and then the number is called the CIDR suffix. And this IP address slash suffix specifies the number of bits in the subnet mask. This means that the number after the slash, the suffix, tells you how much of the IP address is reserved for identifying the network itself. When we say subnet, we mean a smaller logical division of a larger network. And a subnet mask means the number that defines which part of the IP address identifies the network and which part identifies individual devices. The subnet mask is not the same as the CIDR suffix. They present differently. But to avoid going too far into the weeds here, just know this. When the IP address and subnet mask are combined, that, in effect, defines CIDR blocks. These are ranges of IP addresses allocated to networks. These blocks are divided into subnets, each tailored for specific groups of devices. Okay, now you know the basics, but what is different about this paper? How is their network design different from a legacy system? Five key ways. 1. IP address allocation. 2. Network topology design. 3. Routing protocols. 4. Security protocols. And 5. Dynamic configuration. Let's go through each one. IP address allocation. legacy networks typically use fixed length subnet masking, that's FLSM, a straightforward but often inefficient method of allocating IPs. With FLSM, all subnets are assigned the same fixed size, regardless of their actual needs, which can lead to a significant waste in larger networks, where some subnets require far fewer addresses than others. In contrast, the network proposed in this paper, their ENT, adopts variable length subnet masking, VLSM. This is a more flexible and efficient approach. VLSM allows the creation of subnets of varying sizes, allocating just the right number of IP addresses to each subnet based on its specific requirements. Network topology design. Traditional networks often rely on flat or non-hierarchical topologies, where all devices are connected in a single layer or with minimal structure. While simple, this design can limit scalability as the network grows. The inefficient routing can create latency and reduce resilience, making the entire network more vulnerable to failures. The ENT, on the other hand, employs a hierarchical topology. They organize the network into structured layers, such as core, distribution, and access. These layers distribute traffic efficiently and provide clear pathways for data flow. This kind of system allows each layer to handle its specific tasks, which means you can allocate resources based on the needs of each layer. Routing protocols. Older networks often use basic routing protocols like RIPv2, that's Routing Information Protocol version 2, which rely on simple mechanisms such as counting hops to determine the best path for data. This has some limitations, including a maximum hop count of 15, which makes it unsuitable for larger networks. The ENT implements more advanced routing protocols like EIGRP, that's Enhanced Interior Gateway Routing Protocol, and OSPF, that's Open Shortest Path First. Security protocols. Some much older networks may still rely on minimal security measures, which leave them vulnerable to eavesdropping, tampering, and other cyber threats. To modernize them, the ENT integrates IPsec, that's Internet Protocol Security, and TLS, Transport Layer Security. IPsec provides comprehensive encryption and authentication at the network layer. TLS 1.3 enhances application-level security by encrypting data in transit and enabling secure connections for protocols like HTTPS. And lastly, dynamic configuration. Whereas legacy networks often depend on static IP address assignments and manual configurations, the ENT uses Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol, DHCP. DHCP automates the assignment of IP addresses, allowing devices to receive an address dynamically when they connect to the network. This not only eliminates the risk of address conflicts, but also ensures that the network can adapt to new devices or changing configurations without manual intervention. They also made a number of other smaller changes, including some modifications to what's included in the TCP/IP model itself, but the ones I just covered, I think, are the most important here. So, what is the point of making all those changes? What do they think that these modifications will accomplish when put together? Their goal is to create a network that is more efficient, scalable, secure, and capable. If it works in practice, their system should effectively do that. Their modifications, when taken together, address a number of the limitations of traditional networks. They optimize resource utilization, they improve performance, and they fortify defenses. That's not necessarily everything you need to pull a legacy network into the modern era, but it's certainly a good start. If you'd like to dive more deeply into their implementation or apply their recommendations to your company, I'd encourage you to download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.